Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us tonight. And Lord, we are grateful, Lord, for what you do. And Lord, for even the songs we've sang tonight, lifting up your name. And Father, recognizing that we are just vessels. Lord, we're nothing. God, we're just clay. And Father, the amazing miracle of salvation that, Lord, was transpired in our lives, Lord, through your Son and through your mercy. And yet, Father, you have a job for us. You have a ministry for us. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage us tonight. I pray you'd lift up our spirits in that. I pray you would renew our vision. Father, for our purpose in this life, Lord, to lift up your name and how that is accomplished. Lord, I pray you'd help me to say the words that you want spoken. Lord, I pray that all throughout this week we would fulfill, Lord, that ministry. And Lord, at the end of the week of our ministry together, we can truly say that God has been glorified. And Lord, we do pray for people to hear the gospel and to respond, for children, for teenagers, for families, Lord, that your kingdom might be filled where you want it to be. And Lord, I pray you'd strengthen us, give us your power. Help me to say tonight the words you want spoken. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to read a couple of verses here, and then we're going to leave this text and we will come back to it to actually draw our thoughts to kind of put everything together. But in verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." That's a tremendous verse on ministry today, by the way. And any ministry that can't be open, honest, any ministry that's being crafty and just can't speak the truth is not the ministry of God. It's the ministry of men. Boy, God's word is all we need. And but verse 3 gives the contrast and it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." It doesn't damage us because we're saved, but those that are lost, they won't know the gospel. Verse 4, "Why? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." And so it's a twofold taking place there, the blind of their minds and their unbelief. It says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's the spiritual battle. Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, if you were to back up to chapter number 3, keeping in mind what we just read there in verse number 6, "to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, God shined in our heart." The last verse of chapter 3, which correlates with chapter 4, "therefore," verse 18 of chapter 3 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And the wonderful work that God does in salvation, the moment that a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, a transformation takes place. They now become the reflection of Jesus Christ in this world. Now, this morning in the message, I thought it was interesting as Pastor was speaking about, and such a challenging thought, that our purpose is to glorify God. That is the ultimate objective of the Christian life. It is to bring glory to God. In fact, the ultimate objective of creation was that God would be glorified. And Satan attacked that, and Satan defiled that, and man has followed that course of sin and death. And honestly, God's name is not glorified by the death of a sinner. God's name is not glorified by wickedness, and it abounds in this world. But ultimately, God's name will be glorified. The book of Revelation is very clear about that, that in the end, He will receive His glory. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He will be glorified. Our Bible school this week has a text, and I want us to look at that and then come back to Corinthians in a moment. I shared some of this with the teenagers this morning in Sunday school, but don't turn me off, teenagers, because I shared it to you once because you need it twice. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 40. All right, Isaiah chapter number 40. I want you to see this. Our text verse, and of course the banner here has Mark 1, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But I want you to see how all this fits together before we come back to our thoughts in Corinthians. In Isaiah chapter number 40, the first verse says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We find this prophecy, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's our theme, building, road building, making a straight highway for our God. Verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. When God's glory is not being seen, when God's glory is not shining, the problem is not the glory of God. The glory of God, His glory never diminishes. The light is still there. But something is obstructing that glory from shining forth. Here in a few weeks we'll have the great eclipse, right? And you're in the path of that, and that great eclipse. And when the sun is eclipsed, is the sun's power diminished? No. There's just something between you and that great light, right? And that causes that light not to shine, and that light is hindered, but the power of that light is still there. And the glory of God is still as powerful today as it ever has been since the creation of the world. But when men don't see the glory of God, it's not because the glory of God is weak. It's because something has transpired that is causing the glory of God not to be revealed to mankind. Now, I know that in our heart, we often want to be... It's a whole lot easier to point our finger at somebody else. Amen. It's a whole lot easier to look at the world and say, well, the world this and the world this, and the hearts of men are harder, and it's more difficult today, and we live in the end times. And I would never argue with any of those statements, because it is true. We live in the last days. It is true. The Bible teaches that the world will wax worse and worse. It is true that men's hearts do get hardened. Those are all obvious facts. But never lose sight of the fact of the power of the glory of God. Never lose sight of the fact of what God could still do. Amen. Never reach the point where you give up and throw in and say, well, we just need to hang in there to the end. Because God is still powerful. God still wants His glory to be revealed. God still answers prayer. Amen. I could stand here tonight and give testimony after testimony of testimony of how God still answers prayers. How God still works in people's lives. How God still draws people to Him for salvation. How God still takes young people and changes them. And just recently I was in a church that many years ago in Vacation Bible, not too many years ago, but a few years ago in Vacation Bible School, a young girl got saved in that church, in that Vacation Bible School. And over the last several years, she has been a light in her family, and her father got saved, and her mother got saved, and her brother's gotten saved, and then she led a couple of school teachers across the street from her. She invited them to church, and they got saved, and they were there this year at Bible school, helping in Vacation Bible School because of this young girl. Before Bible school this year, just about a couple months before it, her dad passed away. Tom was his name, and Tom and I had just a good relationship. I'd witnessed him several times, been by his house, And I got a picture of when I was there when Tom and his wife got baptized in a swimming pool. The church didn't have a baptistry at that time. And I got a picture of when they got baptized, him and his wife. And I thought, you know, here's this little child. This she's now a teenager. She's 13, 14. And yet, you know, she was 8 when she got saved. And all this has taken place in her life. And God still works. God still wants to do a work in people's lives. But sometimes we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the glory of God. Our life gets crooked. Our life gets full of mountains and valleys, and our life, our highway, is not very straight. That's the challenge I'll be asking the teenagers every night this week. How is your highway? What is your life? And to the adults, the same thing. How is your highway? How is your life? Is your life a path that reflects Jesus Christ, the glory of God? We read here in our text in Isaiah 40 that when the path is made straight, verse 5 says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now take your Bible over to the book of Mark in chapter number 1. Let's read the fulfillment of this in the life and the ministry of John the Baptist. Mark chapter number 1. And in Mark chapter number 1, we won't read all of the story about John himself, but let's just look at a couple of verses here. Verse number 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That's the message. Now look over to the book of Luke, chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. Because it builds a little bit more. We get the glimpse there in Mark. But in Luke chapter number 3, we see the whole repeating of the words of Isaiah. Luke chapter number 3, verse number 4, it says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Verse 5 gives the repetition of Isaiah. But look at verse number 6. "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now, how was it back in the book of Isaiah? The glory of the Lord shall be what? Revealed. When John came and John preached it and John said, make his path straight, the result was the glory of God revealed. The result was that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And so the glory of God is directly related to salvation. The glory of God is directly, God is glorified when salvation is preached. God is glorified when salvation is received. God is glorified when we never forget the fact that God can still save. That God can still change lives. That salvation is the message that the church proclaims until the coming of Christ. You say, well, what if nobody receives it? It doesn't say that all flesh shall receive the salvation of God. It says all flesh shall see the salvation of God. They need to know the salvation of the Lord. And that tied a little bit into where Peter was this morning, where Pastor was talking. A couple of the verses before we get back to Corinthians. Now go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Talking about this thought of the glorification of Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord. John chapter 15, the Bible tells us here in verse number 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." And if you go into that whole passage, John 15 is all about God's believer abiding in Christ, being a clean vessel that God can use, that his life might bring forth fruit. What's the fruit of the believer? The Bible tells us in Proverbs, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What is the tree of life? It is the opportunity of salvation. It's the opportunity of salvation that was presented in the very beginning. There was the tree of life. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, eat from this tree, enjoy it. This tree, do not eat from it. If you eat from it, the day you eat, ye shall surely die. And man disobeyed God. He took from the tree. He ate. Death came into the world. And today, for all have sinned. Romans says, for all have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. That's not heaven. The glory of God is salvation, Jesus Christ. We're going to speak to the children one day this week on salvation. And illustrate it with some words and the spelling and the song. No, you cannot get to heaven without salvation, without Jesus Christ. That's the glory of God. Now, if I had the time tonight, and I won't take the time, you should sometime go through your Bible and look at the glory of God and find it in the Old Testament. You'll find the first time the glory of God was revealed. It was revealed there and it was a light that shined in Moses and the children of Israel. And it was there to lead them. And the glory of God was there when they built the tabernacle. It was there when they offered the sacrifices. It was there when they built the temple. An interesting thing, when they built the temple and the glory of God descended, we have Ezekiel's vision where the glory of God left the altar and came to the threshold and departed back up into heaven. And then when you find the glory of God in the New Testament, it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And if you go all the way to the book of Revelation, you find that the New Jerusalem, that heaven is lit up. The light of heaven, the Bible says, is the Lamb of God, the glory of God. Salvation, Jesus Christ. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. With all of that information, with all of those thoughts, go back to this text again tonight. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 that we all, those that are saved, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have had the veil removed, the blindness removed, and they have received the wonderful spirit of salvation through Jesus Christ, that liberty, the Bible says they are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry," what ministry? "The ministry of the magnification of Jesus Christ. The ministry of being the reflection of Jesus Christ. As Christ shines through us. What does Matthew say? Maybe we should back up and read it for just a moment and then come back. Matthew chapter number 5. I know it's a verse that we probably can quote, we've heard. Matthew chapter 5, after Jesus gave the Beatitudes, where He was teaching to His disciples about the attitude, or if you might say, the life of those that have believed. And in verse 13, He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt have lost his savor. Where shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden to the foot of men." Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." The little children's song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." What is that little light? It's the light of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But look at verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And what's the result? "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's a challenge, isn't it? That someone would look at my life, and when they finished looking at my life, they would glorify my Father which is in heaven. How do we do it that today? How are God's people today doing it that and in reflecting Christ? I want to come next Sunday and I'll have to go online and get that message that Pastor's going to preach on submission. I was thinking this morning as he talked about that of a story that I know of a man that who has a hard time with submission. And he doesn't want to submit to earthly authorities in regards to some licensing issues. And so he rebelled against the licensing issues, and some of the young people in his ministry came to me and said, "Brother Smith, we're having a hard time ministering in our villages because of this man, what he said to the authorities." They said, "When we tell them about God and Christ, they say, well, he doesn't live the Bible." And I thought of that thought of submission's hard, isn't it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Not submitting to wrong, but submitting to authority. How about it, Daniel in the lion's den? God got glorified, didn't he? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I love that story when that old king looked in there and said, "Did we not throw 3 men in the fire? Behold, I see 4. Have you ever pondered that? When he said, "And the fourth is what? Like the Son of God." How did he know that? How in the world could he possibly have any knowledge that the fourth was like the Son of God? Because of the light. Oh, that our life would so reflect Christ. It doesn't mean that the whole world is going to bow down and worship God and be saved. But we ought to be the light of the world. If people are going to trip into hell because of their rejection of Christ, let it be over our light. Not over our darkness. Not over the fact that we have hidden things and allowed sin in our life and bitterness and hatred and variance and strife and emulations and all those things the Bible says to put off. Sometimes God's people are the worst example of Christianity. And sometimes the lost man is the finest example of Christianity. There are those that will say someday, "Lord, Lord, did we not many wonderful works in your name?" And the Lord will say to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you into everlasting fire." Let God's people be the light of the world. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the ministry that we have received, the Bible says we faint not. Now, if it didn't say that there tonight, I wouldn't need to preach this message. But we do faint. We do get weary in well-doing. We do press on, and then we don't see things maybe that we would like to see or we would desire to see accomplished, and we forget and what God has done and what He did for us and the patience that He had in our life, and we need to go on. I won't go into verse number 2, but like I said, it's just a tremendous verse about just an honest preaching. We don't need to do anything but preach the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is all sufficient. We don't need other schemes and designs. We need the Word of God. But then in verse 3, if our gospel be hid. So if that verse is there, if our gospel be hid, then there is the possibility that our gospel can be what? Hid. And if it's hid, it's hid to who? Those that are lost. And that has an effect on their life. Because they don't get the light. They don't see the light. And it's not shining. Yes, they're blinded by the God of this world. But think about this. If they're blinded, and the only hope that they have is that the glorious light, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ would shine on them, what is Satan going to try to do? He's going to try to cause that light to be what? Eclipsed. He's going to try to find something to put between that blind man and the light. How's he going to do that in our lives? I mean, the man's blind. I mean, he's blinded by the God of this world. And Satan already has him. So where does Satan work? In our lives. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's a tremendous verse. Say, what does that have to do with Bible school this week? You've never been to Bible school before if you don't understand that. Bible school is all about being a servant. It's all about just saying, what can I do? Could I just say tonight that one of the greatest probably hindrances to the gospel light being shed around the world is that people today no longer want to be servants? They're not willing to just say, what can I do? Well, if what I do is sweeping the trash and putting in the trash can and that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it for the glory of God, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the what? Glory of God. And if my picking up the trash and putting in the trash can, I'm doing it for the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Is that helping the glorious gospel of the light of Christ? Absolutely. But if I'm doing it because I have to, or because nobody else would do it, or because I'm hoping somebody will notice me doing whatever it is I'm doing, am I doing it for the glory of God? And what happens to us after a few minutes of doing work like that? Well, the preacher didn't notice me today. I'm so glad I'm not a pastor, amen. An evangelist is allowed to forget. Pastors are not. I'm only here for a week. But boy, if the preacher doesn't remember to say thank you and God bless you and this and this and this and this, done. Wait a second. If I'm doing what I'm doing for the glory of God, who cares who gets the credit? Amen. What a tragedy when I mistakenly thank the wrong person for something. Well, they didn't do that. I did that. Well, how about we just say I did it for the glory of God? Amen. Who cares who gets the credit? I always cringe when people say, oh, Brother Smith did this and Brother Smith this and Bible school, Brother Smith. If Brother Smith dies, I hope Bible school can still go on somewhere in this world. Amen. It's God. He gets the credit. Because if it's the work of any man, then it's not the work of God. If anything is accomplished this week, we ought to say, glory to God. And if there's any hindrances to the week, we need to look at ourselves and say, God, what do I need to do to become more like you? Amen. Give God all the praise, all the credit, and see what God can do. Servants, for Jesus' sake. Why? Verse 6, for God, who commanded. I don't think we need an explanation there, right? A command. who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Why? The same God that said, let there be light, and the light came, shined in our heart for one reason. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Words are important. And I'm always trying to retrain myself to try to speak as biblically as I can. And one of the things that I've had to really work hard on, especially in dealing with children, is you don't get saved to go to heaven. Although if you get saved, you go to heaven. You don't get saved to go to heaven. You get saved for the glory of God. And if you get saved because of the glory of God, that's what this verse says, right? If you get saved for the glory of God, then when you after you get saved, you don't just go do what you want to do because now you're going to heaven. You got saved for the glory of God, and now you read your Bible for the glory of God and get baptized for the glory of God and go to church for the glory of God and change your life for the glory of God. Why? Because everything is about one thing, that God would be glorified. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. Why? Because God wants that knowledge of the glory of God to travel the world. Finish these verses. Verse number 7. But we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The glory of God, that glorious light. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, this old sinful flesh. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, let it be that our let that be our plea. God, don't let it be us. Let it be you. These last couple of verses, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Sometime you ought to study the meanings of those words. Troubled, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Tonight I have a simple challenge. What is your life about? What is your highway about? So that God would be glorified. Now, sometimes God is glorified because of a nice, smooth ride. Amen? And boy, you ride down that smooth highway and it's just smooth riding. But sometimes God is glorified because of bumps, heartaches, trials, afflictions. The book of Job. That was a pretty rough road, wasn't it? But Job had one thought. I know my Redeemer liveth. Job is all about reflecting Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to challenge you with something. Not just this week at Vacation Bible School. I pray this week that God's name would be lifted up, that Jesus would be glorified, and that light would shine into the heart of a young person or a teenager or to a mom or dad. And when that light shines into their heart, they would receive the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and their life would become that reflection. We all know how that happens, right? When this one reflects to this one, to this one, to this one, to this one, and you multiply all that lens and you get all that power radiating. I pray for that. I pray that it happens everywhere I go in this world. But hear me tonight. If every single person rejects the light, I do not want their rejection to cause me to stop being that light. Because whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So that all flesh can see the salvation of God. The world may not get saved, but the world needs to know that you have a Savior. That's the purpose of the believer, is that God would be glorified. Let's make it a straight path this week. Amen.